suburban eastern Australia, an environment that has, over time, evolved some extraordinarily unique groups of Homo sapiens. But today, we observe a small tribe akin to a group of meerkats that gather together atop a small mound to watch, question, and discuss the current events of their city, their country, and their world at large. Let's listen keenly and observe this group fondly known as the Iron Fist and the Velvet Glove.
Well, we're back. Episode 420, Iron Fist Velvet Glove podcast, streaming to you live on a Monday night from Brisbane. I'm Trevor, a.k.a. the Iron Fist. With me for the moment, Joe the Tech Guy. How are you, Joe?
Evening, all.
And somewhere out there might be Scott, but he just hasn't arrived, so don't know what the story is with Scott. Hopefully he'll join in at some stage. So yeah, hopefully Scott will be there. We've had a few technical issues in the lead-up. That's why we're a couple of minutes late. If you're in the chat room, say hello. There are two people there, apparently, unless that's just you and I that are counted in that too, Joe. But
no.
Okay, good. Say hello if you're there. Topics, what are we going to talk about? Well, you've got to hand it to footballers for presenting this podcast with plenty of material over the years. Israel Folau was fantastic for providing hours of arguments, a lot of it involving the 12th man as well. A lot of that time I was actually on the same wavelength as the 12th man, I think. So anyway, we've got a couple of footballers in the last week, Samantha Kerr, soccer player, and we've also got Ezra Mam, who was racially insulted while playing in America on the NRL game. Or was he racially insulted? It's all getting quite confusing, Joe. Have you been keeping up with the to-ing and fro-ing about how different people have labelled these events?
I merely saw the Sam Kerr stuff. I didn't see the other one.
Right, okay. So yeah, dear listener, there's quite a lot of discussion about what these, the true meaning of these events, whether they were racist, and a lot of people getting very upset online about how they label these events. So we're going to spend a bit of time on that. And what else are we going to talk about? What else is on my list here? We've got a little China update and about the Reserve Bank. And, remember we spoke just a week or two ago about our obligations in relation to supplying arms to Israel and whether we were in breach of laws regarding the supply of arms and how the Netherlands had stopped supplying. Well, in the meantime, Anthony Albanese has been referred to an international court for his actions and inactions in relation to Israel. So kind of along the same lines, a bit about that. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about nuclear power as well, because that's come up on the radar, because that's the one and only policy that Dutton and the Liberal Party, Joe, have come up with.
Yes. It's clean coal 2.0, isn't it?
It's what?
Clean coal 2.0.
Yeah.
It's another excuse not to stop burning coal for the next 20 years whilst we faff around thinking about possibly maybe doing nuclear.
Correct. It just shows how abysmal this group is, that's the best thing that they could come up with. And it's a complete dud of a decision. Nobody is going to be up for this except, Joe, their existing voters who might like the idea. But when in terms of the crowd they've got to win over to win an election, this is not going to fly. And as people learn more about it, they'll be even more against it, I think, once they understand the facts. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that. So, before we start, Joe, what we're grateful for. Let me just say, I'm grateful again for anaesthetic, because I'm going to have some more of it tomorrow. Because I've got, dear listener, I've got really bad varicose veins on my right leg. And I've had them for years, and I decided to do something about it. And while I'm getting these maintenance issues done on my body, I thought, what the heck? I'm 59. I'll get these things done before my warranty expires. So I'll be under the knife again tomorrow and enjoying some anaesthetic. And, yeah, I'll be fixing up my varicose vein. So once again, I'm grateful for anaesthetic. You grateful for anything, Joe? Or are you just...
Well, my sister-in-law bought me a bottle of rum whilst I was in France, yes. Which I wasn't thankful for at the time because I had to get it back through customs and in luggage.
Yep.
But it does turn out to be a very nice bottle of rum, so I'm thankful for that.
There we go. That's a simple one. That's good. Right. Dear listener, just a reminder, this podcast has chapters. You should be able to look on your app and find the chapters and scoot around topics if you don't want to hear us fluff about with our personal anecdotes at the beginning. If you want to jump straight into the meaty topics, check out the chapters and do that. So, well, Samantha Kerr, another footballer presenting an ethical conundrum. If you've been living in a cave and haven't heard, so there was an allegation that the Matildas captain, Samantha Kerr, was in a taxi cab and threw up, and there was an altercation with the taxi driver about the fare, and the police became involved, and that she called a British police officer a stupid white bastard, and that she has denied. She said she called him a stupid white cop, I think is the latest version. But certainly the use of the word white is not disputed. And as Crikey said, this has seen a flood of takes. Conservative commentator Caleb Bond, writing for the Herald Sun, said the decision to charge her with hurting a policeman's feelings was madness, adding it would be one of the least offensive things he'd been called. Writing for Crikey, lawyer Michael Bradley said there was a legal precedent that being called white isn't a term of abuse, nor a descriptor of any ethnic, national or racial group. And he based that on a case where a woman called a prison officer, oh, by the way, dear listener, language warning in this episode, unfortunately. Keep the kiddies away. So, yeah, a woman called a prison officer a fucking white piece of shit some years ago and apparently got off.
That was in Australia, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Indeed.
And this is in the UK.
Indeed. And no doubt the laws are written quite differently.
They are, yeah.
Former Socceroo Craig Foster urged Football Australia to strip Kerr of her captaincy if the allegation is proven, saying all racism should be dealt with equally. But later on, he went back on that and he said, quote, Sam Kerr's case has created immensely important conversations and exposed gaps in Australia's knowledge, including mine. I am not at all surprised to have got this wrong. Apologise to Sam for reaching the wrong conclusion and am very pleased to be able to improve my advocacy. So that was him going back on what he had originally said. And we've got an academic told the Sydney Morning Herald, racism is prejudice plus institutional power, and Kerr's alleged slur didn't fit the bill. So, oh, look, dear listener, what it's going to come down to is people's understanding, layman's understanding of racism compared with legal and sort of NGO government use and understanding of the term racism. So we'll get to that. Here's another take. This is from a Twitter account of AYEDFY, who's posted, lots of people on the left suddenly okay with a highly paid coloniser denigrating a working class Indigenous person with racial slurs. Good on the local police for resisting Kerr's imperialist violence. Joe, I like that one just as an example of, you know, every one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist, just another way of looking at things. I appreciated that different take on that one.
Yeah, I mean, the UK is well known for being the police chasing down people for Twitter comments. Yes. And charging them with offence.
Yes.
So that it's happening in all directions doesn't surprise me.
Mm. Here's some more comments just to give you some flavour of the arguments. I don't get it. How is it possible to give racist offence to a white person? It's hurt feelings against the exercise of racial power through language. Conservatives think they win by turning everything on its head. And another person writes, a lot of people don't actually understand the true definition of racism is based on systems of power and oppression, not just insults in a bar. And Joe, the Human Rights Commission said, racism is the process by which systems and policies, actions and attitudes create inequitable opportunities and outcomes for people based on race. Racism is more than just prejudice in thought or action. It occurs when this prejudice, whether individual or institutional, is accompanied by power to discriminate against, oppress, or limit the rights of others. So, Joe, I would have thought that if you just think that a certain racial group is less worthy, is somehow lower in status, is to be denigrated in some way, you got a negative attitude to a racial group, that was kind of racism, is how I would have thought of as race, kind of the dictionary definition of racism. But what a lot of these commentators are saying is that, nope, it's got to be accompanied by the person making the insult or sort of the racist act has to have some sort of power over the other person that will allow them to discriminate potentially. And also handy if there's some sort of institution involved in it as well that they represent, if there's some sort of institutional power. So
this is special pleading, isn't it?
Well, it's extra sort of hurdles and elements of
special pleading.
Yeah. And I think what's happening here, so really what they're saying is somebody insulting somebody in a bar, calling somebody like bastard or something like that, isn't racism unless it comes with some sort of power imbalance or some sort of institutional power imbalance. And unfortunately, the people wielding that argument are also doing it in a way that's really denigrating the other people who are using the more common dictionary definition. And the reason this is happening, Joe, I think, is that because people are applying a legalistic definition of racism to the circumstances. And in the law, look, they don't want to deal with trivial cases. They don't want to just deal with minor matters.
They do in England.
Well, okay, maybe they do. But I can see that the law would say, look, arguments in a bar, we don't necessarily want to hear about somebody just slagging off across the street at somebody. We want to see a genuine potential for discrimination. We want to see power being used inappropriately. We want to see institutions involved in order for us to apply extra legal penalties, because often this is like an aggravating aspect of an offence. Mm. Like if you are, and so I can see how the law would say, we've got these extra bits and pieces that we want to see before we're going to create extra penalties for racism. But then the people who are wielding that argument are really then saying, well, there you go, that's what racism means in everyday life. And it's not. It can mean more than that. It doesn't have to jump through those hurdles in everyday life as we, the common people, understand racism. So that's where I'm getting to with this. And I'm finding it dangerous, unnecessary, risky when people want to make it more difficult to describe something as racism, because racism's an ugly thing. Why would we want to be limiting the idea of it when we don't have to? We should be calling it out when it's there and not finding excuses that it doesn't exist. And it's all then complicated by sympathy for for wanting things tossed out when they're just trivial. So that's an sort of an overlay over the whole thing. So I can see comments are starting to flood in, and Scott's not joining us, not sure. But anyway, I'll get back to the comments after I've had my rant on this and then see what everybody says. It might be easiest rather than dealing with it. So keep making your comments, and I'll try and get to them. So let me do a bit more. So where this gets tricky then is where we've had the case of the Broncos footballer Ezra Mamm, who was playing football in the first round, playing in Las Vegas, and Spencer Leniuai, who I think is of a kind of a Polynesian descent, on the field called Ezra Mamm a monkey. And Ezra Mamm was immediately greatly offended, immediately reported it to the referee, and apparently shortly, the game finished not long afterwards, and he was in the sheds crying and very upset by this insult. So if you're going to hold that it's only racist, it's only racism if it's accompanied by institutional power, then you'd have to say that that footballer wasn't acting with any institutional power against Ezra Mamm, and therefore what he said to Ezra Mamm wasn't racist, because it was the lack of the institutional power and the ability to discriminate. And that's just crazy.
Was he calling him a monkey because of the colour of his skin, or was he saying, oh, you're a fucking monkey because you've got less intelligence than the average human?
Yeah. Who knows what he was... Well, actually, I do have his statement here. So this is the statement by Spencer Leniuai. Mm-hmm. I've mucked up the pronunciation, but because he was in front of the NRL Commission. So he's been charged with sort of conduct unbecoming to the game, I think is more or less what he's been charged with. And his statement was, I'm so sorry I said that to Ezra and made him feel little. This game is so fast, and at the time I didn't know the meaning of that word and how much it means to the Indigenous community. He said something to me and I said something to him and I thought it was banter. At the time, I thought it was one brown man saying something to another brown man. How we speak to each other is so common. At the time, I had no idea what that word meant. There is no room for racism in the game, and I'm glad he's brought it up. I love the Indigenous community and their culture. We wouldn't have the game without them. Looking back on it now, I can't believe I used that word, but I didn't mean in any racial way. I'm so sorry. So does that answer that, Joe? As to what he was thinking when he said it?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he was just...
Let's just assume the worst, and that he just didn't think it was a... Imagine somebody using it in a racial slur. Well, they're just like, yeah. If you don't have institutional power attached to it, the definition being used by a lot of these people...
Yeah, absolutely.
...means it's not racism. And it clearly could be.
Then the special pleading is, does he have more power because of the colour of his skin than the other person?
But they're both brown.
But one's an Aboriginal, one's an Islander.
Yes.
So is an Islander slightly less high on the scale?
This is where, why would you introduce this power necessity if you don't have to? Because it gets really ugly then, doesn't it? Like,
it's the race to the bottom, isn't it? I'm more oppressed than you are.
Is a multi-million dollar footballer with access to prime ministers and celebrities and the media more powerful than an English bobby in some respects?
An English bobby has the power of the law state behind them. But yes. How about a white guy in a pub?
Yes.
A tradie in a pub who is white, who insults a multi-million dollar footballer.
Yes.
So he has.
They get into an argument, and the multi-million dollar footballer, Sam Kerr, if she'd insulted just a white working class man in the pub, for example.
Yes.
Yes.
Who doesn't have the power of the police force behind
him. Yes. you know, the argument would be by these people running this line is, let's say she insulted the white taxi driver, not the white policeman. Proper. Yeah. The argument would be, well, he's just part of the institution of white people that's privileged, and therefore, whether he knows it or not, he's wielding institutional power that she doesn't have. And you know what? People are going to get really pissed with that sort of argument when they are of the working class. They don't see any institution that they're part of.
And well, they're standing up for them, correct.
Yeah. It's a hurdle that people are wanting to throw in that I think is really only needed when you're looking at the legal issue, when you're looking at extra penalties and you're trying to find something worthy of extra penalty. But for the general notion of a racist act, I think it's a mistake what these people are doing. So actually, I've got a clip here, Joe. So Milwaukee riots 2016. Angry crowds took to the streets in Milwaukee on a Saturday night to protest the shooting death of an armed man by a police officer hours earlier. So this was obviously a black man, I think, shot by police officers. So let's just play, actually, because I got bounced out of there, I've got to put that back up. Play this clip and here we go, play this. A crowd of rioters looking for white people to beat up, Joe. But if they don't have institutional power, it's not a racist act.
Does mob have institutional power? Certainly has power.
Yeah. Well, the definition these people are using is institutional power. And if you're just going to talk about power of any sort, it gets very hazy as to power.
Mm.
It really complicates the issue. Anyway, just for some light relief in the middle of this, from the shovel, Matilda's captain, Sam Kerr, has been honoured for her unique contribution to Australian culture after she got shit-faced, chucked up in a cab, disputed the fare, and then called an English cop a stupid white bastard. Nothing exemplifies the Australian spirit better than getting munted and then picking a fight with law enforcement. It's what this country was built on, a spokesman for Australian of the Year Awards said. People do need to take a bit of a step back on this one at some point and go, it's pretty poor behaviour to get shit-faced and throw up in a cab and then start arguing with people. Like, you see a lot of comments by ex-taxi drivers saying what a pain in the ass it is when it happens. It disrupts their income for the trip. It's impossible to get the smell out fully. And a multi-million dollar soccer player should be effusively apologetic. And people are wanting to stand up for her in this situation. Kind of just remember that's actually what happened.
Yeah.
When you
A privileged person who's earning millions of dollars has ruined the evening's takings of a working class person.
Yes.
Yeah, take colour of skin out of it. Let's stop being racist and talk about colours. Let's just talk about these people.
Yeah. Really shitty behaviour.
Yes.
Bear all that in mind. So Michael Bradley is from Marquee Lawyers. He writes a lot in Crikey. And he says that he runs the legal argument that it's not racism. Let me just find the relevant part here. He says, let's get directly to the heart of the matter. It's no defence to a charge of racial vilification to point to the literal truth of the racist words you've said. Use brown or yellow as a personal descriptor, and yep, that's racist. So does the same apply to white? As one conservative commentator insisted, if you're okay with what Kerr said, you need to genuinely be okay with a white guy calling someone a stupid black bastard. And you might be, but you need to be consistent. So, conservative commentator says, if you're okay with what Kerr said, then you should be okay with somebody, a white guy calling someone a stupid black bastard. And the writer, Michael Bradley, says, well, white man, no you don't. There's legal precedent for why you're talking about two unrelated things, which only reflects the simple truth that really gets your goat. Reverse racism is not a thing. And then he talks about this case of a Samantha Power visiting her partner in a prison, and when she was refused entry, allegedly expressed her unhappiness by calling a police officer, a prison officer, a fucking white piece of shit. And the officer claimed he'd been racially vilified, and that was rejected by the Federal Magistrates Court. And Bradley says, that's similar to the UK offence. It was essential to the charge that Power's abuse of the officer had been done because of his race, colour or national or ethnic origin. The judge ruled that being white per se is not descriptive of any particular ethnic, national or racial group, nor is it of itself a term of abuse. White people are the dominant people historically and culturally within Australia. They are not in any sense an oppressed group whose political and civil rights are under threat. And so Bradley says,
I don't know historically, for a very, very small period. Yeah, we're saying that the Aboriginals have been here for 40,000 years. White people have been dominant for 200 of that.
Yes.
And not even.
He goes here, the law of race hate was invented to combat actual racism and its toxic social effects. White people in the UK, as in Australia, have never been the victims of actual racism. The privilege afforded by their skin remains intact. And he says that Kerr's undoubted hostility towards this police officer was not because of his race, whatever his race may be, could be anything from French-Canadian to Lower Slobovian, is surely beneath our dignity to have to explain. Nevertheless, it is apparently a terribly difficult thing for many white people to get their heads around, as they melodramatically insist that all lives matter. Like men's rights activists, they shout at the passing clouds of progress, unwilling or more likely unable to understand that the loss of privilege that equality requires is not a loss to mourn or fear, and yet they fear. And we get stupidites like this. I hope the English court gives Constable Snowflake the justice he deserves. Joe, just the tone of this, where he says, well, white man, no, you don't. And he says, surely it's beneath our dignity to have to explain this. And saying things like, we get stupidites like this. This looking down on people, Joe, because they're trying to start with a basic understanding of, well, things should just apply equally, and why wouldn't this apply equally racially? And the dismissive tone of it irks me and irked a lot of commentators. That sort of, let me tell you, stupid racist white man, what's really going on here? Really condescending, I guess is the word I'm looking for. So
black is not a race any more than white is not a race.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It is not a race either. But, yeah.
I mean, the fact that she needed to point out skin colour.
Yeah.
You know, had she gone for gender, would that be a sexist remark, you stupid man?
Yeah. You know, it's also trivial. Like, at the end of the day, it doesn't deserve any extra penalty in my mind because it's so trivial. Who cares? But if you're just looking at definitions.
But in the UK, it is worthy of special penalties.
Right, yes.
Because they are cracking down on any form of offence.
Yes. And, you know, if you're wanting to stamp out racism against black and brown people and yellow people and whatever colour people, then you're doing a disservice to the cause if you start nitpicking when it turns out the other way. It reduces the cause.
I think just saying, look, you can't comment on somebody's colour of their skin. You can't comment on what's between their legs.
Mm.
You know, those are just off the table. As far as insults are concerned, you can call them other things, but...
Yep. And you know, what we should be saying is that's really poor form in terms of social cohesion, but, you know, in most cases completely doesn't warrant some sort of penalty of any sort. But we should all be turning our nose up at it and going, that's really poor form. Like, that's not good. And
I know someone who gets upset whenever the terms idiot or moron or retard are used.
Yes.
Retard is common, but
yes.
Idiot or moron, because they have historically laden prejudices.
Mm.
And she gets very offended every time.
Well, it used to be, Joe, it was an insult to call somebody spastic at one stage.
Yes.
And then, you know, people suffering from various disabilities would go, hang on a minute, we don't want that. That's actually really offensive to use that term because that's me. And so, and you know, we as a society, if we hear that, should be going, come on, that's not right. Cut that out. We don't want to hear that. But actually, you know, charging somebody with some extra penalty as a result of it, I don't think so. But I'll move on. So in Crikey, by the way, dear listener, there's a special on Crikey subscriptions. So look into that. Contact me if you want to know what the code is, if you're interested in a Crikey subscription. But they have a great comment section down below. So this particular article had like 165 comments underneath. And one of the top ones was by this guy, Joe F., who wrote, referring to Michael Bradley's article, "If I ever have to explain why my fellow progressives sometimes annoy me, I might just provide this article as evidence. There's always nuance. My students of Indian heritage were chatting with me the other day about how racist their parents are towards those with darker complexions. They think it's funny that the dominant attitude is that you have to be white to be racist. Maybe this article was meant to be sarcasm." That's a good point. Indians racist towards
other Indians. Oh, the caste system is awful in India.
Yes. But and this just seemed to be darker complexions, not even related to caste. So
right.
Is it racism? Because they're probably of the same. Yeah. But race is a social construct. Ugh. This is where it all gets so annoyingly difficult. Another guy wrote here, yep, and this sort of nauseating, smug, do as we lecture you, not as we show you, hypocrisy from society's rich, privileged, tertiary educated white knowledge class is the key reason society's not rich, not privileged, not tertiary educated, white working and underclasses vote for the destructive imposters like Donald Trump. Hell, rub my face in too much of this patronising, double standard junk and I might vote for Trump. Just to wipe the condescending, hypocritical smirk off this odious, overpaid little ambulance chaser's gurning dial. So, colourful language, Joe.
But
I get the point about the smug, condescending...
It's the basket of deplorables, isn't it?
It is. It is the basket of deplorables. Yeah. Yeah. No, further on, I think the same guy responding after somebody then responded to him, he goes, but I'm a white, mostly straight, middle-aged man, and Sam is a female lesbian of some Indian heritage. So I have patriarchal institutional power and she's an oppressed minority. So she gets a free pass from Mike for what is, whatever way you cut it, lousy behaviour with a racially abusive element. Let's put a statue up to her. Can you not grasp why people like me have no faith in privileged progressives, people like Bradley, and the elite civic systems, which are admirably and rightly supposed to be progressive too, and are flailing around for political alternatives that don't rub our faces in partisan-driven double standards? And there was another argument that was running through this comments section. people were referring to the dictionary definition, which was basically exhibiting prejudice against another person or group because of
based
their
on their skin colour.
Yes. Yeah. And these people were saying, well, you just, you know, the dictionary definition doesn't matter. It is the legal definition that matters. It is what groups like the Human Rights Commission use. You're just using an unsophisticated, amateurish understanding of racism, and that's not what it is. And this person's saying, well, a dictionary is describing what the understood use of a term is. It's not, it's descriptive, it's not prescriptive, it's not telling people what racism should mean. It's saying what people understand racism to be. Mm-hmm. And these people are just being dismissed in these comments as just dumb hicks for relying on a dictionary definition. And it just gets back to my original point at the beginning of the spiel, which is people have a simple understanding of what racism is, basic prejudice based on skin colour, and those additional requirements of institutional power are handy if you're wanting to impose penalties on people, because you really want something substantive if you're going to impose a penalty. And I think what's happening is people in the business of arguing against racism, they really concentrate a lot on unintended racism that permeates through systemic power that we don't even see. And I get that, you know, you would want to emphasise that, but you shouldn't need it. Actually, I've got a summation here. And then once I finish this, I'll go on to the comments. So here's my summation. Discriminating against people based on an inherent characteristic is unfair. Racist acts can be systemic or can be individual. Doing it systemically or ad hoc, both are unfair. The racist may be powerful or not. In either case, the act is racism. Defining racism as needing a power component is useful when defining aggravating circumstances where you need to find serious conduct, not just trivial, in order to justify a greater legal penalty. It might also be useful for the Human Rights Commission, which would want to disregard trivial matters. But that is different to everyday discourse about what constitutes inappropriate behaviour. Why would you want to give a free pass to some racist behaviour if you are trying to discourage it? By all means, highlight systemic covert racism and highlight power imbalances, but don't insert them as necessary elements in a broader, non-legal context. Elites are lecturing to people that Kerr's racism is not so bad because of technicalities. People might excuse it because of triviality, but they won't accept the technicalities that appear to A, breach the principle that the law should apply equally to everyone, and B, ascribe institutional power and privilege to working class white people who correctly see themselves as not enjoying any such privileges, and C, ignore evidence that some members of minority groups enjoy enormous privilege in excess of the so-called majority privilege class. There you go. There's a rant. Right. What's in the chat room, Joe? Let's see. Watley's there. Good evening. Da, 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 da. Watley says, conveniently refined to suit woke ideology. Alison says, I presume she was affected by alcoholism. Didn't she throw up in the taxi? So whatever she said to the cop was drunk talk anyway. Yes. And Watley says, redheads are fair game for mockery for some unknown reason. Okay.
Well, the reason is, Watley, is because gingers have no soul and therefore can't be insulted.
Have no soul. Where does that come
have
from?
Have no soul.
Right.
Yes. Do you right. not know this?
No. Okay.
Rangers have got no soul.
Oh, there we go. Are you a redhead, Watley, by any chance? You're often quite angry. You're angry enough, Watley, to be a redhead. Might explain something.
I'm a ginger. Yeah. I'm just bald, but.
Yeah. True. Yeah, you are that sort of gingery colour, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
As there Tim Minchin says, only a ginger can call another ginger ginger.
Did he say that?
Have, Have you not heard his song Prejudice?
No.
Oh, okay. Right. So he had a song comparing things that went together.
Right.
And one of the lines he had written with an Australian view of a certain word that begins with the letter N.
Right.
And said he hadn't realised the strength of feeling it engendered in America.
Hmm.
And was called out on it. And so he went off and wrote this song called Prejudice. And I think you need to go and listen to the song.
Yeah. Okay. Prejudice by Tim
Minchin.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, Anthony Mundine, he didn't think it was racism when Ezra Mann was called a monkey. And he said that, I mean, it ain't racism when two brothers are brown or black fellas. You can slur each other. You can call them a black C or a this and a that. That's what they are. It's like African-American and another African-American calling each other the N-word. And he says, I think they ought to toughen up. It's not racism. There we go. What else have we got here? All right. That's the racism and our sporting stars providing some food for thought there. 8:45, Joe. 15 minutes left. Let's do... There's been an ASEAN conference, the Malaysian PM talking about China. He despaired at the rising tide of China phobia, and he said the international community was eager to see a return to friendlier ties between the US and China. I sense that some countries just cannot accept the fact that you have another superpower emerging. I don't have that problem. He says force has been used by the United States in their foreign policy more than any other country for the right and wrong reasons. And most often, in the case of Iraq and Afghanistan, the consensus is for the wrong reasons. And that was him. Let me just see. Oh, Keating's had a go at Penny Wong again about foreign relations. I think, Joe, let's talk about nuclear for the last 15 minutes. So, is Dire Straits in the chat room? Because he's always been on about these small nuclear reactors.
Oh, SMRs, yes.
Yeah, that don't exist. And so Dutton has been criticised that in the Dunkley by-election, the Liberals had no policy. And he's basically, he and his shadow energy minister have announced that the Liberals are all in on nuclear power, both small and large, and in saying that Australia could have nuclear power operating within 10 years.
Basically, they want to build it on the same site as the coal-fired station.
Yes, yes. And every expert put out by any media organisation is just calling BS on the idea and saying that we have zero experience when it comes to operating nuclear facilities. Even if you looked at countries that do it all the time, they couldn't get a nuclear reactor up and running in 10 years. And we'd be starting from scratch. We've got state governments who are against it. And so just we've got no regulations to deal with it. They would all have to be drafted up, and no company is going to stump up the investment for this. Let's just say Dutton got in at the next election, because they'd be thinking, well, in 3 years' time, Dutton could be gone. A Labor government comes in and cancels the whole project. So no nuclear finance group operator would enter this with any certainty that the project will continue through successive different governments. It's complete pie in the sky. Add to that, it's incredibly expensive, and it just makes no sense at any level whatsoever, except if you're wanting to keep fossil fuels going as long as possible, because you would be arguing we don't have to do anything because we'll just wait until all this great nuclear comes on board in 10 years. And the other option would be the sort of the big end of town gets to run these nuclear facilities and presumably enjoy government subsidies to run them and exercise power. One of the things about having all this rooftop solar is it's taking power generation out of centralised businesses and distributing the power so that a business has less political power than it did previously because every mum and dad has a sort of a stake in it. So, Joe, any thoughts on the just pathetic nature of Peter Dutton and this proposal?
It's obvious that he's been advised by the fossil fuel industry. It's the only reason that he could be putting this forward. As far as I know, the only reason you'd want to build nuclear reactors is to enrich uranium for weapons.
Mm.
In this day and age, it was a great technology back in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
We have new technologies that are better. They're talking about the UK, which is nowhere near as blessed as us,
mm-hmm.
are having problems getting nuclear on stream.
Mm-hmm.
And the long term is going to be renewables, pumped hydro, and peaking gas.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be using gas for the foreseeable future, but only as a backup in the rare cases where we don't have enough wind and sun and stored energy in terms of pumped hydro and whatever battery technologies come along.
Mm. You know, it might be a completely different scenario in other countries, but for Australia, with our enormous landmass, our plentiful sun and wind, it makes absolutely no sense economically for us to go down this pathway. And, it's again pandering to that sort of outer regional electorate, non-university educated, culture war sort of argument. But the Liberals need to win back the teal seats that they've lost, and they're not going to do it with a nuclear power policy.
No.
They're just going to be in the wilderness forever if they keep doing this. So I think they just...
Maybe they're hoping to get the coal mining seats with a dream of that they're going to set up nuclear power instead and these people are going to get employment in that.
Mm.
I think you'd be much better off with what other industry can we build up for the miners to move into?
Mm.
And preferably out in remote areas so that, because a lot of these towns are going, mining is our lifeblood, and if the miners move away, what do we do?
Yes. Yeah. But, there's also a lot of these towns are getting gentrified as well, with people sort of tree huggers sort of moving out of Sydney and other areas into there. And, how many people are actually employed in these mines sometimes is another question. So,
The WA mines are more and more automated.
Mm.
All the trucks are run automatically from a control centre in Perth.
Yep. And where you've got camps, fly in, fly out workers staying at campsites, not a lot of action might happen in a lot of communities as a result of the mine. So, insanely stupid, and that's the best they can do. The caliber of thinking in the Liberal Party is just appalling. They're really just moving, they're just trying to move into the Nationals territory, really, aren't they? They're sort of geographically heading into that sort of territory and just leaving the cities to the Labor and the Greens.
I was going to say, do the farmers even want nuclear?
No, I wouldn't think they would. When I was in Japan, my wife and I were walking down the street and all of a sudden there was this crowd of people and they were looking at this department store window and everyone was just stopped looking at it and we couldn't work out what was going on. And then, the Japanese are always very still and very, they're just always polite and undemonstrative. And it was kind of like everyone was kind of silent, and then they all just disappeared. And we just sort of tried to grab somebody and said, what was all that about? And it turned out it was a minute silence marking the disaster of the most recent nuclear, you know, where that tsunami had caused the damage to the nuclear plant and all that. So they were sort of commemorating it. Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah, it was happening while we were in Japan at the time. So, yeah, crazy.
But again, there's been a knee-jerk response to shut down nuclear power stations that are effective and are running, which I think, you know, Germany has shut down a whole bunch of nuclear power stations and had to turn back on coal generation.
Mm.
So that's a bad thing. You know, shutting down existing nuclear reactors isn't necessarily the best outcome.
Mm.
But certainly building new ones is ridiculous.
Mm.
And Fukushima just goes to show that the amount of devastation, the amount of damage to the area and the impact that that has had. You know, if that had been a coal-fired power station, the radioactive tailings, the poisonous ash would have been spread across a wide area.
Mm.
So it's not been great, but realistically, in terms of the environmental damage, the disaster, given the size of that accident, it's been incredibly low.
Mm.
So the impact has been negligible. They are relatively safe technology.
Mm.
So it's not nuclear is bad, nuclear is the devil. It's just we have better alternatives, and why are we going down this antiquated technology path?
Mm. Yeah. Yep. Right. Joe, we've nearly come up to an hour. I could go into other things, but I think we might make this a briefer one. Let me see. Okay. And Watley, yes, he is a redhead, apparently.
He is. He's a ranger.
There we go. That explains a lot. So, yeah. And he also says nationals don't listen to farmers, just the corporations. Yeah, I think that's true. Right, dear listener, don't know what happened to Scott. Hopefully he's okay. Maybe he's just come down with a bit of a bug or something like that. So we'll see him next week, I would assume. Wish me well as I undergo some more wonderful anaesthetic tomorrow morning. And I'll be hobbling around with a stocking on my leg. But, yeah, see how that goes. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.
And it's a good night from him.